This is 8 Minutes, a podcast helping you understand the energy and climate challenge in just a few minutes. I'm your host, Paul Schuster. New York has enshrined some ambitious greenhouse gas reduction targets into legislation, aiming for 85% reductions in carbon emissions by 2050. One of the big tools that the state is planning on using to reach that target is something called Cap and Invest, a program that's currently being jointly designed by the New York State Energy Research and Development Authority, NYSERDA, and the New York Department of Environmental Conservation. The Cap and Invest program aims, over time, to ratchet down the allowable amount of carbon coming from heavy emitters in the state. The program could have an extraordinary effect on all aspects of the economy in New York, so in order to learn more about the Cap and Invest program, I reached out to my friend Karsten Bard, Director of U.S. Policy and Regulatory Strategy at National Grid, one of the major gas and electric utilities in the state, and one of the big organizations that's going to be affected by this rule. What is Cap and Invest? Who is it likely to impact? And what can we expect as this rulemaking moves forward? If you're interested in the entirety of my conversation with Karsten, you can download the whole interview podcast under the show title, More Than 8 Minutes. 8 minutes. It's how long it takes the sun's rays to hit Earth, or about the amount of time needed for Taylor Swift fans to download... Okay, hold on. Let's carry the one, add a few zeros, regret my life choices. Well, enough time for tens of thousands of downloads of the newest album. Let's get it on.
New York Cap and Invest has the potential to be a really generational sort of policy framework to support New York's clean energy and climate goals. And it's all oriented around, of course, the goals of the CLCPA Act, the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act.
New York has some ambitious climate goals, aiming to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 40% below 1990 levels by 2030 and a full 85% by 2050. Those reductions are actually legislated into law under the CLCPA Act that Karsten referenced. And as the state grapples with just exactly how they're going to meet those reductions, the Hochul administration has introduced this important tool of Cap and Invest.
And the program has these two basic parts: the cap and the investment. And the cap refers to an allowance budget that will be set every year and to decline every year between now and 2050 to get to the CLCPA's goal of 85% reductions below 1990 levels in greenhouse gases. The state will issue these allowances, one per ton of GHG emissions allowed in the state. They will issue the allowances, they'll sell the allowances, and they'll generate revenue for the state. And the state will use those funds to reinvest in activities that help to reduce emissions in the state.
The intent is to entice heavy emitters to invest in the decarbonization technologies required to bring down those emissions. If the price for an allowance of carbon is high enough, then the economics of investing behind industrial electrification or renewable generation or space heating electrification, those avenues become a lot more attractive. And while the program is meant to be economy-wide, Karsten explains how the construct isn't meant to unduly burden everyday consumers of energy.
The way that they're focusing on implementation, at least for the energy sector, is by focusing on the fuel supplier.
The focus on fuel suppliers means that everyday consumers won't need to buy allowances every time they fill up their car or turn on their gas stove. That burden will fall on the gas distribution companies or the gasoline suppliers. Though, of course, the increased costs will likely be pushed along to end customers. New York recognizes the impact those costs could have, so a key feature of the program is in returning part of that revenue back to consumers. Whereas the allowances for the cap part of the equation, the invest part is just as important.
Governor Hochul's administration has said that affordability for New Yorkers, including energy affordability, is an important priority to balance in the design of this program. And so we think choosing where you invest your funds as a state to help bring down the costs of GHG reducing technologies and conversion by customers to lower emitting technologies, that's really important. I think it's important to also mention that as part of that affordability priority, the New York legislature has actually required that The program used 30% of its revenues to return directly to customers for bill offsets.
The intent is to drive down the cost of decarbonizing while not unduly burdening end consumers with higher energy prices. But fuel suppliers are not the only entities carefully watching what's happening with the Cap and Invest program.
Notice I didn't say electricity, because the agencies are still thinking about how they're going to approach the electric sector. And given the existence of the regional greenhouse gas initiative that has regulated carbon dioxide emissions for quite a while now.
REGI, the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, is a cooperative program in the Northeast that assigns a price to the carbon being emitted from power generation, which overlaps pretty significantly with what the Cap and Invest program is trying to accomplish. During these early stages of trying to sort out how this New York program is going to shake out, there's a lot of discussion on what that means for New York's participation in REGI.
There are only a couple of options. One would be to fully exempt electric generators from New York's Cap and Invest program and allow that sector to be covered by REGI. The other option would be to try to make them compatible in some way with one another. For example, by requiring entities to comply with both, but giving those electric generators, some sort of initial credit based on the allowance value of a REGI allowance, and then having them pay the difference or hold enough allowances to recognize that difference in value.
These and other questions are still being worked out. The Cap and Invest program is still in early stages of being formed, and lots of entities are providing feedback to the two governing authorities tasked with administering the program, NYSERDA and the DOEC. Karsten gives us a general timeline, though, as to when we can expect Cap and Invest to be implemented.
I would expect draft proposal to be out before the end of the year. 2025 is, I think, a year that they've identified as beginning of implementation.
Karsten and National Grid are gearing up for that implementation and are offering their own feedback into the program's structuring.
National Grid believes that economy-wide, market-based emissions reduction programs like this are the right way to move forward with climate policy, and that this program could serve as a really foundational construct to help move along emissions reductions under the CLCPA. The program needs to recognize and really anticipate what those costs are going to be and take necessary measures to try to mitigate those costs as much as possible and support customers in pursuing the conversions of their home and business equipment to reduce their emissions and reduce their compliance obligations under the program.
In general, though, it sounds like National Grid is supportive of the Cap and Invest construct and the positive impact it could have on transitioning New York to a clean energy economy. If successful, Cap and Invest could become a signpost for other states to consider in enacting their own decarbonization regulations. Karsten had a few final thoughts on how New Yorkers, especially, should be thinking about this program as it goes through this structuring phase.
New York's got aggressive climate goals. Agencies, industry, consumer groups are working together to try to address those in a way that is affordable and reliable. The agencies are being really thoughtful about what the right level of price signal is, and that also that really probably should vary based on what alternatives are available.
I'm Paul Schuster, and this has been your 8 Minutes.